Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
To talk all things NFL, Aaron Rodgers. Big kind of announcement earlier today, and so many more things. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome in of the MMQB. He joins us every Tuesday at 5:20, the great Albert Breer. What's up, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Albert, my co-host, just informed all of Cleveland that what made him a good server back when he worked in the restaurant industry was that he would tell them their wishes, hopes, and dreams.
You need context, Albert.
When you go out to a restaurant, you want to hear all about your server, right?
Nick is he's missing a lot of context here, Albert. I worked on...
So you're going to have to repeat that, so I'm only going to hear Jonathan's side of it because you guys cut out a little bit.
I'll give you my side first, and then we can get into the actual question of it. So I worked on a boat at Navy Pier in Chicago on Lake Michigan, and the boat would take you out for 3 hours. It was fine dining. And so you'd have like a 5-course meal, but you would go out and what's that?
Like a dinner cruise.
Like a dinner cruise. Exactly right. And so I was telling Nick, like, part of how I made really good tips on there was telling people like my life's hopes, dreams, wishes, etc. And then people would be like, oh, we're rooting for you because you're like 19 years old and you still think you can do things in life. And that's fun for people. And then Nick took it into me just basically, I don't even know where you went from there, Nick.
I believe I went where Jonathan told every person that he delivered food to by browbeating them with his own life. Is that what you would like as a patron? Would you like to hear all about your server's life story there, Albert?
Wait, so the part I missed was this all a lie then? You were 19 and single, and you were telling them that your wife this is going on with your wife?
Life. Talking about, like, his dreams.
Yeah, like my dreams.
Oh, his dreams. I thought you said your wife. Okay, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's an interesting tactic for sure. Now, I don't know if I'm the person to be the judge of any of this because I was actually a server when I was in the state. And my career waiting tables probably lasted, I don't know, about like 3 or 4 days before I had high school kids come over and decided they were going to mess with me. And I stopped serving them. And I told my manager that if I had to go back over there, there might be a fight. So that was the extent of my career waiting tables.
See, that's the appropriate way to have a waiting career. I think we gleaned everything we needed to, Jonathan, from that answer. Albert, Aaron Rodgers.
It's an interesting tactic, though, for sure. And I was actually thinking when I thought you made up like a fake wife, which would be really creative, I
thought about my friend who would tell girls in college that he had never, you know what, and it worked like a charm. So
I could see that working. Yeah.
I also told girls that, but it was the truth. Albert, Aaron Rodgers says, this is probably going to be his last year. One, do you believe him? And two, is Aaron Rodgers' legacy on the line if this is his final season?
I mean, I think you're talking about degrees of legacy. You know, I think he's still an all-time great, and that's secure, and his legacy in Green Bay is secure with the championship that he won there. But can he add to it? Yeah, he can add to it. I mean, I think any of these guys that have success in multiple places, it burnishes their legacy. You know, I mean, Peyton Manning was great in Indianapolis, but we also remember what he did in Denver. Same goes for Tom Brady in Tampa, and Brett Favre had a like MVP level season in Minnesota that sort of erased what was a weird year with the Jets, and then a weird year after his great year in Minnesota with the Vikings. So, you know, I think that all adds to those guys' legacies, you know, and so I think what's on the line for Aaron now is the opportunity, not to erase, but certainly dull the impact that the last 2 years had on what people think of him, you know? But, I mean, what he did in Green Bay is what he did in Green Bay. The guy won the MVP 4 times. He's won a championship. I'd say, you know, his place in Canton is secure. I'm not a voter, so I hate, you know, being presumptuous like that, but I'd be pretty surprised if he wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, you know, from there, you're sort of talking about degrees of greatness and where he ranks on the all-time list.
Yeah, not from any like reporting standpoint, Albert, or anything like that, but maybe. I looked at it from TMZ's side of things, but don't you find it peculiar that we know nothing about Aaron Rodgers' wife? Isn't that like, it should be TMZ's area. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is weird. But, you know, like that's sort of been par for the course with Aaron, you know, his whole career. You know what I mean? His whole life. Like, I mean, there's always been, you know, weird stuff circling around, and whether it's the ayahuasca or different rumors. I mean, all of that stuff has sort of always existed with him. So, like, the fact that, like, we don't have any information on his wife. I mean, with another player of his caliber, you know, of his fame, it would be probably a little strange. I'd say with Aaron, it's sort of par for the course. Although I will say this, like, how many times did you see Ashley Manning?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Twice.
Yeah,
I mean, I would say most football fans couldn't pick Ashley Manning.
But at least we know her name. At least we know her name, though. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know his wife's name.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, some of them have famous wives. You know, like Deanna Favre obviously became a big figure for various reasons. You know, Tom Brady's married to a supermodel. You know, so that's a pretty obvious one. Mahomes' wife puts herself out there.
Yeah, Baker's wife was always around. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, I think it's sort of like in a lot of these cases up to the woman, you know, you know, Ashley Manning, at least publicly, was pretty low profile. So that would probably be a decent comparison. And again, like, it's just always, there's always been like this, like, cloud of mystery around Aaron to begin with.
I don't think she exists, Albert.
That was the theory Nick had.
I know that's where you're getting at, and I'm not going to speculate on that, but you can think what you want to think.
And I absolutely will. Albert, will the collusion case, do you think that this will have lasting impact or repercussions for either the NFL or NFLPA?
So I think on the NFL side, probably not. I mean, this is like an open secret, right? I think we know. I mean, do you guys remember the cap penalties in 2010, how ridiculous that was?
Yes.
Like, and for people who don't remember, Washington and Dallas got docked like huge cap penalties because they had cap violations in the uncapped year. What does that tell you? Like, maybe there was an internal salary cap that they were all working off of and they had some sort of gentleman's agreement, right? Which would be completely illegal. This did forever. So I'm not surprised that they were able to find stuff. What is definitely a little jarring is seeing it in court documents, you know, because, you know, if this ever, you know, became a bigger thing, if they were found guilty of collusion, I mean, we're talking about like pretty serious ramifications. So they're very, I mean, it sounds weird. I guess the best way to put it is they're very careful about how they collude. You know, for the NFLPA, I think, you know, it's fascinating because I think under the new leadership, they seem way more willing to play ball with the NFL, you know, Demorris Smith versus Lloyd Howell. So their willingness to play ball with the NFL, you know, I wonder if something like this and, you know, like the NFLPA's role in it, I do wonder if there's part of it where you look at their willingness to play ball with the NFL in certain areas where it causes individual players to start to take a look at, like, all right, like, how is this, you know, like what kind of job is the union doing for us under the new leadership?
Let me ask Albert. Lance Zierlein was on Infinity Sports Network yesterday, and he said that he thought the media was being too soft when it came to Shedeur Sanders. And I would make the argument that since Shedeur Sanders has become an NFL player, and even leading up to the idea that he was taken in the fifth round, I don't know that he's actually benefited from the last name being Sanders in any sort of way. It's not like he's gotten any special treatment with the Browns. And what happened last week with the speeding tickets on top of it, I mean, there were people out there that treated that like that was a very, very serious thing when it's just speeding tickets. It's not the biggest deal in the world. But I would make the argument that, if anything, we've been hard on Shedeur Sanders. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think it's sort of like you made your bed, now you lie in it. You know what I mean? Like, this is sort of what Shedeur, for better or worse, attracted when he was in college. You know, first at Jackson State and then Colorado. And, you know, when you broadcast your life this way, and like you've naturally got star power because of who your dad is, and you lean this hard into it, well, then everything is going to be a bigger deal. You know, it just sort of is what it is. I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a big deal if he didn't do all the extra stuff, you know, because his last name is Sanders, so that's part of it. But, you know, he also hasn't shied away from the idea of – he hasn't shied away from some of the benefits he gets from his last name. And so this is the other side of that double-edged sword.
Albert, the big talking point yesterday around the national sports scene and even on our show was the rise of Achilles injuries in the game of basketball and even in the NFL. Is there? Yep. You had a great tweet about this, just kind of a potential working theory on the rise of these injuries. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I think there's definitely merit to the idea that it's a result of specialization. And not so much like a guy's kid specializing, you know, at 17 or 18 years old. It's like these guys being one sport athletes when they're 10 or 11 or 12 years old. And, you know, I think you see it more and more now where there are a lot more kids that are funneled into that are deemed prodigies that are funneled into single sports at the expense of others. Now, I think football is to some degree immune to that because you can't play it year round, you know? And so you have fewer guys. Like I think if you go down the list of great NFL players, you know, you'll see there are a lot more multi-sport athletes than in the other sports because you really don't play it out of your season in most parts of the country. So, you know, Joe Burrow is an all-state basketball player in Ohio and, you know, and Patrick Mahomes is a great baseball player growing up in Texas. So you see more and more, you see more of that. But yeah, I mean, like, I think certainly, you know, with the UCL injuries in baseball players and young pitchers, you see it with the Achilles in basketball. You know, it's beyond just like the, you know, the obvious, which there's, you know, like, you know, a burnout factor playing one sport over and over and over again. There's also, the fact that you're going to overtrain some muscles and undertrain others. And so what that adds up to, you know, just talking to people who know what they're talking about this stuff is, you know, certain muscles are going to have, you know, an impropriety of wear and tear. And then other muscles might not be as built up to support those muscles that are hanging by a thread. And so, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know all the science of it, but I do know this, like I've talked to people who have been doing this and do this for a living that say you shouldn't specialize until you're 17. And I think we all know, like in sports like basketball and baseball and hockey, the really great ones, a lot of the really great ones are specializing much earlier than that. So, you know, if Halliburton, I looked up Tyrese Halliburton, and, you know, his profile from Iowa State, and generally you'll see, you know, if you went 20 years ago, you'd see like, oh, well, he was also all-state in baseball, or he was a great football player also, you know. And you look at Tyrese Halliburton and literally every single thing in his high school bio was basketball, every single thing. And I'm not saying, again, like I'm not saying it's 100% always the wrong thing to do, but I think it does have an effect. And, you know, I think, again, more and more you see the kids who are deemed prodigies specializing. And I think when that happens, you become more prone to these sorts of things.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like you mentioned Mahomes, and I remember in that quarterback series on Netflix that they did, and I just didn't know it, that they'd mention how Mahomes hadn't played a football game so his sophomore year of high school. Like, just think about how wild that is in the day and age we live in, where it seems like most of these kids at 7, 8, 9, they just have it all figured out what sport they're going to do, and they only focus on that.
Right, and I think it's just like, I don't know. I think it's out of control because I don't think it's healthy for regular kids. You know, like my regular kids, like where mom and dad's genes probably aren't going to put them in a position to make money playing sports, you know, and say your kid's, you know, got aspirations to play college at some level. You know what I mean? Like that kid now, the potential like Division III athlete, like I think those kids are being specialized now. That's not great. You know what I mean? Like, but it's become so competitive.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That, you know, like, it almost like plays in the insecurity of people. Like, if my kid's not doing what Johnny over there is doing, then he's going to fall behind, you know? And, you know, I think it's not a great trend at any level. And I think it's got different effects on kids at different levels. But certainly, you know, I think, you know, with the pros, you know, the guys who did make it, like, I think that is one effect, is that you probably have some imbalances in their body because they have been overworking certain muscle groups.
Albert, you're one of Ohio State's truly great college football video game players across last. Well, we got some news.
I did specialize in that when I was in college, so I shouldn't be bad mouthing specialization, I guess.
And yeah. Some are saying that's how you got where you are in the media. So ESPN, EA Sports has put out their top 25 toughest places to play. Ohio Stadium is third, behind Beaver Stadium or Tiger Stadium. Do we feel like that's the right spot for the Ohio Stadium to be in this the latest iteration of this game?
You're not going to drag me into the big noon kickoff like argument now, where I tell you that like the night games are far more intimidating and difficult to play in for road teams than the noon games, right?
No, that's exactly where we're going.
Yeah. I've seen both ends of it at Ohio State. Like, I've seen the game where it looks like, you know, it feels like everybody at the game is 70 years old, and like, you know, like half the kids there, like I was one of them, like half the kids there, you know, it becomes a blowout in the third quarter, half the kids are at the VC, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's the night game where it just feels like the stadium could collapse on the other team. So like you see both ends of it at Ohio Stadium for sure. It's not always the loudest place, but when it's at its best, it's a really difficult place to play.
Albert, you killed it as always, buddy. We appreciate you. And the next time you're at a restaurant, make sure to just fish for some of those personal details from your waiter, so that Jonathan's...
I certainly won't be looking for a job. I know I'm not cut out for that.
Listen, some are saying you still have some potential there.
Yeah. I don't think my temperament was quite right for the service industry, but you know, you sort of learn along the way what you can do and what you can't. And I thought my friends were all making good tips there, but it wasn't in the cards for me.
One day, maybe. Albert, great stuff, buddy.
Thanks, Albert.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer of the MMQB on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline will react to him and collusion in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Reports that came out today by Pablo Torre. Pablo Torre finds out a podcast that an independent arbiter found that, the NFL colluded. You can correct me on this. It sure felt like, there's evidence of collusion, but they weren't good at colluding altogether, so it's not enough to really disrupt the NFL model.
Yeah, that's not
really
right.
Hammer them for it.
Well, and so the analogy that Florio's been using is that they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, but then they didn't actually see them eat any of the cookies, and that's where it kind of goes a separate way.
And it's interesting. Like, this is a scenario where it absolutely opens up the can of worms of, hey, if they're colluding on this, what else might they be colluding on, which is disastrous, like potentially disastrous for the NFL.
Yeah, I think that's the bigger part of this, by the way, is that what you're saying right there? Because the actual collusion itself and them suggesting that they didn't want guaranteed contracts for these quarterbacks, and you cite Lamar and Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray, that's not really anything that's groundbreaking, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, we were all talking about that and the dangers of, or really the realities of what could come in play once Deshaun Watson got the guaranteed contract himself.
That's like when Pablo and the thing talked about, well, not one person directly reached out to Lamar Jackson. I was like, I thought we knew that.
I thought we knew that. Exactly right.
Widely reported.
I thought we all played under that assumption of like, all right, Deshaun got it. Lucky him. He got the big money, the guaranteed money, and the moment that happened, Jimmy hasn't lost a lot of friends in the NFL over that, and a lot of people are very mad that he made it fully guaranteed, and everyone else learned from that.
I also think it opens up a can of worms for the NFLPA with how league leadership talks about their own players. And specifically, listen, there's a myriad of reasons why J.C. Treader didn't want his text to DeMaurice Smith out there in the public. And people can talk about any other. No. It's because in it, he blames Russell Wilson not getting a fully guaranteed deal on Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and so in
which deflates your own case there.
I like that you brought up JC, because one of the more fascinating things out of the actual hour-long discussion that Pablo and Florio has, and I'd love to ask Pablo or Florio about it. Hopefully they can ask him in the morning tomorrow with Florio, but this is more Pablo-driven. The idea that JC Treader, you know, days after he gets elected to his second term, you have to be an active player to be the NFLPA president. All of a sudden, then he's no longer on the Browns, right? And yeah. It's days after the second, you know, term that he gets elected for. And so obviously he won't be up for a third term, and there goes his presidency. But remember at the time when this all went down, like, we were doing this openly. This wasn't in the dark. We were like, wait, J.C. Treader the year prior was a top five center in this league. I remember making the list, legitimately ranking him third that season. That's how good he was. And then he's just poof, out of a job. But that's not an accident. That's obvious what happened to J.C. Treader. And I remember railing about it a couple times, but it was, we were doing local radio here, and it only went so far. Nobody else nationally cared enough to even have the discussion about why J.C. Treader, who was at the heights of heights within his position, was no longer employed. But it was pretty obvious. And I think this is kind of the nuts and bolts of this in its entirety. It's like, yeah, okay, this was obvious. We all saw what was happening.
And I think it's been really interesting to watch this go out, because I've seen more media reaction than fan reaction. Like, I think there's a lot of people in the media, Mike Florio being one of them, and I know he was on the podcast with Pablo and he's covered this, but I've watched media members react to this with a sense of urgency and kind of an explosive, oh my God, and care about this. I haven't seen a damn fan tweet about it, think about it. Like, one, half the answers, when people do, I've seen it, of course this happened. Two, like, I get it. Like, why would a fan care if the NFL's colluding against their players? If you're a Browns fan, what difference does it make? And like, people took this, you know, they read this thing. There was an email from Michael Bidwell, one of the fortunate sons of the NFL, who basically was like, Cleveland really screwed this up for us. That's the only extent of the connection to Deshaun Watson. And a few Browns fans took this and like, another way to look at the Deshaun Watson thing. It's like, okay. Like, there's really been no actual frustration, though, with the actual collusion. The frustration was, of course, the dumb Browns gave Deshaun Watson the fully guaranteed contract that led to, like, nobody cares about collusion, and it's wild to see that from now current NFL fans.
Well, I think for us, it confirms some of the stories that maybe didn't get talked about as much, and so we're interested in that, because this is just one long big sitcom for us who does this day in, day out. But I think for the fan that loves football but doesn't maybe do this day in, day out, I don't know why they'd care about reduced salaries or why they'd care about confirming even some of the little things like J.C. Treader stories that, to be honest, we cared about it here locally, but nobody really cared about it at the time that it was happening.
It reminds me of NBA ratings, where it is a media creation. And that's not where it reminds me of, but where there are some fans that care about the NBA ratings. But if you go back 20 years ago, no one gave a rip. But the NBA media has talked about it, and as a tool to analyze the quality of the NBA. But even now, like, if you look at the amount that ratings are talked about versus the amount of people that care about them, it's not commensurate. Same thing here. Like, we've talked about collusion and time again, so we've normalized this idea. But the outrage, again, I continue to come back to being just blown away that the outrage has been from other media types, and fans have gone, yeah, we kind of knew that. All right, on to the next one.
Yeah, I also I think it doesn't help, too, that there's not really like a pick a side in this type of discussion either. You know, it's like no one's rooting for the owners to then be able to reduce the guaranteed amount of money to then screw over these players who put their body on the line.
It's millionaires versus billionaires. That is a tough one.
It's never a fight that anybody enjoys having. But even more so in this discussion, like, you can't. No one's like, hey, I'm rooting for the billionaires in this. No one says that.
It does suddenly make the guaranteed first round contracts handed out to players this year make a hell of a lot more sense. You know, I have asked a fair amount of NFL reporters. Albert came the closest, I want to say 3 weeks ago, to answering, all right, why, what's this change where there's always been like a quotient of how much guaranteed money for draft picks for your draft slot versus non-guaranteed money. And Albert came the closest, but still didn't totally answer it. Yeah, if the two entities were in the middle of a collusion, collusion situation, and they knew this situation was going to come out, it would make sense that all of a sudden the first round picks this year got fully guaranteed deals, right?
I don't know how long they knew this was coming out, because in Pablo and Florio, when they sit down and they open up the whole presentation of all this, they made it as if it was a race between the two of them to try to get this document that they didn't know. They knew it would prove it, but they didn't really know if they're going to be able to get their hands on it. And it was like, they were like, we went back as far as 4 weeks. It's not as if they've been chasing this and it's been their white whale for years on end. It's like, we put it a mission against each other for a whopping month.
As a fan.
And they got there.
Do you care if the NFL colludes against its players? Do you care if there are allegations of NFL and NFLPA collusion and the catch 22 with the Browns' success and Browns' failure in 2025? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.